So there's like 3 episodes left, and I feel like probably by next week I'm going to have like 9-1 dialed, and then like when my heart starts to seize, I'll just hit that last one.
There's only 3 left?
There's only 3 left.
I think Breaking Bad's going to break that penultimate, somebody dies in the penultimate episode and then we deal with it for the last episode thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I think somebody's going down in this next episode. At least one major character's going down in the last episode.
Welcome to WHM On Screen, a We Hate Movies sideshow where we talk about kind of just anything we're watching. So this week we're talking about Breaking Bad, the final 8 episodes. I mean, I guess anything Breaking Bad in general that comes up. Now, obviously, folks, if you're not caught up, just turn it off till you are. You know, spoiler alert. There, I said it. Obviously, spoiler alert.
And there's probably some people that don't know what WHM On Screen is.
Right, right. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's just a sort of an off-topic show where we're just, you know, usually after a main show, we're just doing a little bonus thing.
Yeah, and just a little like WHM after hours. You know, I mean, we're still telling some jokes, but it's more like just talking about stuff we're watching. New stuff, you know, Steve and I talked about Batfleck a couple weeks ago. So, you know, more up-to-date stuff. This is how we prove to you that we're keeping current. And also that we do watch all the trendy TV shows that everybody else watches.
The best.
Yeah. So, Breaking Bad, you know, while where we're recording right now, like I said, there's 3 left. The 4th one just aired, too Hajali or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
That's one of them highfalutin titles I don't care too much about. I'll look it up on Wikipedia one of these days.
But basically, so the last thing we have seen up to this point is, of course, the big shootout between the neo-Nazis and the DEA fellas, with Walt cowering in the car and Jesse kind of trying to slink out that side door. Mm. Probably the greatest cliffhanger this show's ever done.
It's an intense cliffhanger. It's sort of like I know everyone was like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? I was like, God damn it. Like, why would you turn it off in the middle of the show?
Yeah, it's just, it's right there. And it's not a cliffhanger where like it goes black or something. It's just we're right in the middle of the action and we just don't know what's going to happen.
Go ahead.
So someone might actually be killed in the cold open or something of the next episode, which is crazy to me.
I jokingly said to Steve today, the script for the next week's episode probably starts with fade in. A scorpion is munching the last piece of flesh off of Officer Steve Gomez's skull.
Oh, he's dead meat Gomez.
Yes, definitely.
He's just really not making. There's no way. I mean, he's not going to be the moral center at the end. He's not going to be Horatio just fucking thinking about things about what he just witnessed.
At this point, he's body count material.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I almost said hopefully, but yeah.
I mean, everybody's like, oh, man, they're going to come back and Hank's dead or Jesse's dead. It's like, I don't think anyone is safe, but I don't think that those two characters would have an off-screen demise.
Oh, no, not an off-screen. I mean, I think it's going to happen. I mean, the weird thing is they've already, speaking of cliffhangers, and they've done this. This show does a lot of cliffhangers, and that's why it's so propulsive and so awesome.
Yeah.
But 2 episodes ago, when Jesse's in Walt's house trying to burn it down, you're like, oh, fuck, this is really coming to a head. And they did a really clever way to get around that.
Right.
I don't know if you could do that 2 episodes, you know what I mean, 2 cliffhangers in a row.
I know. I mean, but I'm trying to think, because the whole thing is, you know, just to remind everybody what Steve's referencing. So it's Jesse's pouring the gas all over the house, and it's like, well, all right, we know that he, you know, chain smokes cigarettes. He definitely has some fire on him. Mm. How is he not going to burn this house down? And, you know, the answer is because Hank comes in and stops him. So with that in mind, though, it's like, what could stop this shootout? Like, is Lydia Rodarte Quayle rolling in with a fucking grenade launcher?
Well,
I mean, I don't think so.
Keep in mind, this show is set in New Mexico. I seem to remember a Roswell, New Mexico. So I'm thinking maybe a UFO might,
you know,
just suck up the Nazis. I don't know.
Tell you what, Vince Gilligan worked on the best seasons of the X-Files.
There it is.
You guys. Maybe
a bunch of bees are going to get him.
Or maybe Bigfoot. Bigfoot run stampede.
Or no, all right, fair. Make a truce, Eric. It's Bigfoot and a bunch of bees. Bigfoot riding a bunch of bees.
Bigfoot and his army of bees. Yes.
With a beard of bees. It could happen.
The one prediction that I'm making, and I mean, it's pointless because I know I'm going to be wrong because everybody's going to be wrong, you know. But I would predict that, not predict, but what I would like to see, because I think it would bring up some more interesting story stuff for these last three episodes, Walt somehow winds up being directly responsible for saving Hank's life, which I think is a really interesting, like, yes, he's this huge scumbag, but now, like, Hank owes him his life. So what would that do to Hank's decision about what he's trying to do to Walt and everything?
Well, I do kind of find it interesting. Like, I read a lot about Breaking Bad like anybody else, because what else are you going to do at work? But it's everyone that I read and listen to on podcasts or whatever, it's always like, oh, my God, Walter White, most evil person ever, most evil person ever. And, yes, that's mostly true. But him at the end of this episode is not an evil man. You know what I mean? He's trying to stop this carnage. He doesn't want either of these guys to die.
Right.
Because he doesn't want Hank to die because he's family. Like, he'll ruin the fuck out of Hank's career, but actually taking his life, not so much. And, you know, he doesn't want it to go down this way. So that's not... I mean, he's evil, he's monstrous, those things. We all know what he's done. I don't think he's the most evil person who's ever lived.
I don't think so either. I think the character's always been kind of on that line where he does terrible things, but he still has a sort of a moral center, at least to himself. Yeah. It reminds me, now I'm thinking about it, he's a little bit like Gaius Baltar from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. He seems like a total scumbag when you look at, like, the certain actions, but they kind of all piece together to make sense. Sure, they're trying to save themselves over everything else and their family and their money, but at the end of the day, Walter White is not eagerly hoping to put hits out on people, you know, like other people might be. Yeah. Like real life bad guys.
Yeah. Real life bad guys like Gaius Baltar. But no, I think you're right. I think, you know, if the situation were not reverse, but if you replaced Walt with Gus, Gus is definitely going to let, you know, Uncle Jack and the neo-Nazi gang blow the shit out of Hank, because fuck it. If, you know, if, also saying that if, you know, Hank in this alternate situation was somehow related to Gus. Because, I mean, that's the thing that sort of keeps it together. If it was just Steve Gomez, fire when ready.
Poor fucking Steve Gomez. Wrong place at the wrong time.
You know, my wife was telling me that apparently he's like a local Albuquerque stand-up comedian.
That's nice.
Stephen Michael Quezada.
Quezada, yeah. He's good on the show. I mean,
he is good.
He's a likable presence, and he's just going to die.
He's going to be blown to smithereens.
And, I mean, I think Hank is pretty close. I mean, that last scene with Marie is really... I mean, but then again, this show subverts expectations, right? But, like, if you're going to kill Hank, you want to have that phone call with Marie right before to twist that knife.
Yeah, but if they go through with it, it's kind of a cliche.
Yeah,
right. I mean, because that's what
it's sort of a hint that they're not going to do it. Maybe
I think that's the case. I mean, that's why I was reading Donna Bowman on AV Club, and she was saying, "Oh, we all know what happens when a character says they love their loved one into a telephone on a TV show." And I was like, "Yeah, but this is Breaking Bad. Yeah. So if anything, possibly." Sealed Hank's safety, it's the fact that they used a crazy, you know, cliched trope like that. You know, like homeboy on Downton Abbey, can't remember the fella's name, the actor's name is Dan Stevens. You know, he says, you know, how happy he is that he's got this kid, he loves his wife, he's going to go to the hospital, visit them both, his life's in, you know, great state right now, they save Downton, and then he fucking gets killed in a car accident. Like, that's your cliched soap opera ending, but Downton Abbey is no Breaking Bad, you know what I mean? And, like, I feel that, yeah, because that happened, Hank maybe bought himself some time, maybe didn't guarantee that he's going to live.
It'd be great if he survives this, and then he's like, oh, my God, that was a close one, Walt. All right, let me drive you downtown. Oh, no, a car crash!
That would be fantastic, actually.
I mean, there's a bunch of weird... I mean, like, I don't know. I do think that I wouldn't necessarily call it a cliche if Hank dies in the next one. It's a really effective scene between him and his wife. And Dean Norris, by the way, is doing a great job this season.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
He's, I mean, it'll probably go to Aaron Paul again, maybe. Like, he's been kind of... It's really unfortunate in this show. I mean, Aaron Paul is fantastic, and it does an amazing job. It deserves all of his Emmys and accolades.
Yeah.
But there's so many good supporting actors on this show.
There really is.
And Dean Norris has been kind of hanging back a little bit. And, you know, it's like the 96 Bulls. Now he's Steve Kerr, and he's in there, and he's taking the three-point shots, and everybody loves him.
He's taking the three-point shots, but, you know, he's got six championships to live up to.
He sure does.
You know,
my big question about Hank Schrader as a character is, when is he going to be trapped under this dome? Because that's the isn't that the sequel
show?
Yeah,
that is how it goes. I mean, that's how I think this might... be subverted. Uncle Jack might hit a button and he traps him in a dome.
I'll tell you, I saw...
Hey, Todd, you ever see Mouse Trap that game? Oh! They got down comes the net. Giant dome.
I saw space dome. Some sort of coming attraction for that program, and I haven't watched a second of it. But man, oh man, he's like the bad guy. It was revealed all of a sudden, and he doesn't want the dome to come up. Yeah. And I don't have an interest in that show at all. But when I saw him saying that, I was like, what possible reason could he have for not wanting the dome to come up? I think there might also be aliens involved. It's a Stephen King thing, so those left field aliens are always a possibility.
But that dome is definitely hitting Maine, that's for sure. That's there's no way it's anywhere in any other state.
Another thing, we're talking about the award, you know, nominations and whatnot. And the thing I was also going to say about Dean Norris and the Hank Schrader character, along with the Marie character. Especially in that season, what is it, season three, when Hank's laid up after the assassination attempt.
Yeah, ordering his gemstones off of eBay.
Yeah, that's every time we went to Hank in that season, I was like, fucking come on. I don't care. I could not care less about these two people. And now, you know, in these final hours of the show, I'm like, God damn, he's the most badass dude. Mm. She's fucking bone chilling with when she says in that hilarious Chi-Chi's-esque Mexican restaurant, why don't you just kill yourself? Like, it's
your
cold.
Jaw drops.
Your jaw drops. It's ice cold. Mm. But she's so right.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most practical solution. Kill yourself.
Well, I'm predicting that like they set up that guy for Jesse to get in the van to disappear, start a new life.
Yes.
I'm thinking Walter White will do that, hence the new look, hence the new license plates from New Hampshire.
Right. So you're right. And I think so the question, you know, that I think we can kind of maybe steer ourselves in an answer towards without having seen these last three episodes yet is this machine guns for those neo-Nazis, right? It's looking like it's going to be some sort of revenge hit, maybe.
It could be a revenge hit.
It's a year later, though.
There's a lot of yip-yapping on the internet, which, I mean, it makes sense is that, like, maybe Jesse, being the second-best cook, gets kidnapped and Walt has to save him. You know what I mean? Like, one of those
like,
kidnapped to cook kind of a situation.
That's
the neo-Nazis I like. I really like Todd
a lot. Whoa.
As characters, you mean.
Oh, okay.
No, I like their beliefs. I like most
of their literature.
Pretty smart guys. They're a little, aside from Todd, and Breaking Bad, I love it to death and blah, blah, blah. It steers towards a little bit Grand Theft Auto sometimes. And these guys definitely are, they're the guys that you go to and they're like, we got one more job for you, Walt. You know what I mean? Like, I like Uncle Jack. There's not much there. Todd's amazing. And Todd, I think I want the evil Jesse versus Jesse to happen in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but the neo-Nazis are a little thin. I mean, to me, they kind of, aside from Todd, just sort of glob together as one character.
Yep.
You've got the other fella there with the mustache who played Herc on Friday Night Lights, who I think is a pretty solid actor. But yeah, they're just kind of like, whatever. I mean, I understand that they make up a pretty dangerous unit, which is awesome.
And it's kind of cool because they're playing with fire. And I guess, again, like, you know what I mean? You want to talk about real evil. These fuckers don't give a shit. They're there to make money and murder people. And that's what's great. You know what I mean? Like that, they are the, you know, it's kind of interesting. We were kind of talking about this as well, is like how gleeful that Uncle Jack character is that Walt wants him to kill Jesse. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? He's not, you know, he's just like, oh, one cook, you know, one cook. You know, this guy wants to put the screws to Walt because he wants to make some money, and he'll fucking imprison that son of a bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it says a lot about these, you know, I think one thing that was interesting from the first part of this season five, and I'm not calling this season six. A lot of people have been doing season six. It's season five. They just went on a ridiculous break. But, you know, the massive hit, like, yeah, Heisenberg, Walt arranged this whole thing. But still, it's Uncle Jack's contacts, yeah. And Uncle Jack had to be the ones, you know, the dude to set up mm-hmm. and put in play all of this shit. So, like, when that happened, I was like, oh, he's not just some dumb racist. Like, yeah. This dude is kind of also a criminal mastermind, and Walt doesn't really know what he's getting himself into.
Also, he could be, from Uncle Jack's perspective, if I may.
Somebody needs to speak for Uncle Jack here.
Those goddamn Jews!
He got called to come out there and help Walt, and then Walt's now acting weird, saying, don't come. It kind of sounds like Walt's maybe being taken prisoner, or like it sounds like maybe Uncle Jack thinks that he should come still. Like,
he's got him.
I mean, he kind of doesn't have another play there. What is he going to do? Just sit there and wait for the phone to ring again?
No, exactly. Walt is like Uncle Jack's fucking lead stud horse. Like, he's got to go protect his interests. So, you know, worst comes to worst, he gets out there, and yeah, it's all cool. But, you know, other side of that is his asset is being arrested, and he can't have that happen. So it's like, yeah, of course he's going to come. The thing that I was really, you know, the thing that really had my heart going is the whole thing when Hank's on the phone and he says, you know, there's the callback where he gets to do the wave he's always wanted to do when he catches Heisenberg. I was like, okay, he's going to wave and then a fucking bullet's going to go right through his skull.
Yep.
Like that's probably the biggest, most suspenseful moment I can remember watching TV in a really, really long time.
Well, I kept expecting somebody to get hit also. Like, as the bullets are flying, and that kind of gunfire, that gunfight goes on for a little while before they cut it. You're like, oh, fuck, somebody's going to hit. So, you know what I mean?
I've never been that. They not hitting someone?
Yeah, how is it like 6-on-2 and Gomi has like a, you know, kind of the big assault rifle, but Hank's just got a pistol,
and what's his face has got a scope going, not a scope, but at least a good sight.
I mean,
they've got the upper position.
Yeah, how are they not hitting these guys? I mean, that to me, that was like my criticism of the episode.
Hey, Uncle Jack, target practice. Nah, I'm gonna go read this book about Hitler. Like, but Uncle Jack, target practice.
I mentioned the callbacks, and it reminded me of an article that came out about all the and if you guys didn't read this, it's pointless to really talk about it, but the article that talked about all the ditched storylines that they had.
I did read that.
Oh man, it is some fantastic shit. And one of the most ridiculous,
it's Entertainment Weekly, by the way, I think.
Yes, it was Entertainment Weekly that had this, and it was like 12 ditched Breaking Bad storylines, and some of them are like kind of insignificant and stuff, and it's not you know, Jesse was supposed to die in the first season, but the one that I find most hilarious and kind of wish I had seen is Junior comes home with a black eye, and Walt's like, oh, someone's bullying my son. And he asks him who did it, and Junior tells him, and Walt plants weed in this kid's locker and gets him arrested. And then it turns out that it was Junior doing the bullying. And the kid like just fought back and popped him. How hilarious would it be to see fucking RJ Mitty just trying to bully someone? I don't think that kid could pull it off.
He's just too nice. What's he gonna bully
him with breakfast?
Hey man, you know, like his father, maybe he's a different person. Like this Flynn persona.
Yeah.
Once he gets into the halls of school, he's using that crush as a fucking bat. You want to cross Flynn? You want to cross Flynn? I apologize, but it had to be done.
RJ Mitty talks totally fine. That's a character choice that he does.
It's a character
choice. And it's a great character.
He's a great character. I kind of really like the scene between him and Odenkirk in this last season.
Oh, that was so great. It's him just getting starstruck about a shitty lawyer.
He really plays that really well, actually. It's really funny.
I love how he only then remembers to say have an A1 day when it's to fucking Saul Goodman. Speaking of which, is Walter Jr. getting his fucking brain splattered all over the pavement in the end of this show?
I don't know. I mean, like, the logic has nothing to do with it. It's just whatever happens at the show happens. But,
right.
It makes sense that whatever happens at this shootout sends Walter away, one way or another. And I kind of feel like his family kind of recedes a bit. But maybe not.
I mean, his family are going to have to die or go into witness protection or something. I don't know, like, what's going to happen. I could see them being killed, but I also kind of feel like they won't be.
I feel like Skylar's going to have a pretty bad end.
You think so?
She broke bad, you know? Like, her putting down that tape with Walt is pretty reprehensible. And I like that character. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, a fucking bitch on television, you know, and throws their beard at the screen.
I don't understand the hatred of the
I don't
character.
Get it. And the funny thing was, I hadn't really paid attention to it. And then I read Anna Gunn's piece in the Times about it. And I was like, wait, what? Yeah, this was happening?
I felt the same way.
It's so fucked up. I mean, you know, the short answer is people in this fucking world are just terrible idiots, and that's not going anywhere. But that's fucking horrible.
Speaking of suicide, I think I could see Skylar going out that way.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. I kind of – my little – and I've said it privately. I'll say it publicly to the nine people. Oh, nine people listening.
You know what the funny thing is? We always make that joke, but we've got a pretty big listenership.
I know. I just don't. Anyway.
It's 9 times 9.
81.
Hey, no math on this show. You save that shit for off hours.
I kind of would love is whatever happens. I mean, Walt's done so much terrible shit. And I'm not, when I said he's not evil, I mean, he's a terrible person and has done terrible things. And, you know, you poison a kid, doesn't make you a good guy. But I kind of want it to be the situation where he's left with nothing and he just has nothing else. And he's like, well, cancer's going to take me. And just like this Uncle Jack scenario, like Jesse said, where every time you think he's going to go down, everything goes in his favor. But like the ultimate twist on that is he beats cancer when he doesn't want to beat cancer.
Yes.
Like out of no, like, you know what I mean? Like just this weird wave just comes and he beats cancer and he's got to live with it.
Right. But that is what I always imagine would be the ultimate punishment for him is, yes, the cancer goes away, but at the same time, the cancer goes away coincides with his entire family being killed or taken away from him. And, you know, he has to live with that.
Yeah.
And he's not going to die in 6 months kind of
thing. I feel like that's how the show has to end because that's what he's been fighting for this whole time. And we have to show that crime does not pay. You know, it'll take, you know, you might get money, but it'll take something from you. Besides your soul.
But that's an interesting point, though, too, right? It's something you just made me think of. Is this show obligated to say that at the end of the day, crime doesn't pay? Or can Walt kind of have a successful ending and get away with it to a point where, you know, maybe it's not Easy Street, but it's like, hey, you beat cancer, you've got $1 billion or whatever, you know.
Well, one thing we do know for sure is that his good name will be destroyed.
Yeah.
The house gets spray painted Heisenberg.
Right, right. An interesting thing that a different internet article brought up. One of the things they've been keeping track of is all the callbacks to other things that have happened in the show. And this is something that goes back to like The Godfather, but the idea of oranges being a signifier of death. And one thing I didn't see this first episode when the show came back, when he says hi to the neighbor and she drops the grocery bag, the only thing that falls out is a bushel of oranges. To me, that's like, okay, he's checking in on this house, he's gonna get the ricin. Someone is dying with this ricin, you know,
and whether it's him, whether it's somebody else.
I mean, he's got a machine gun in the car. He can't be taking the ricin. You think that's...
Yeah, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that it's a suicide ricin, because ricin, they've described, it's pretty painful, right? Do I remember that correctly, or is it painless? I forget.
I don't remember which way it goes. I just remember, because recently he said that he knew that he gave Brock just enough that it wouldn't kill him. I don't know if that's...
He doesn't give Brock ricin. He gives him whatever that other poison is. Remember? Like,
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Lily of
the Valley, yes.
So I don't know then. I don't remember.
So maybe the machine guns for the Nazis. He takes out the Nazis who do have Jesse Pinkman there and trapped, and he still wants to get rid of Pinkman, maybe, yeah, and gives him the ricin for a painless death. He doesn't want to shoot Jesse.
That's, I do awesome. Love that fucking coward. I mean, that is,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that's Vince McMahon octave is what that coward comes out. It's deep and guttural.
Yeah, the coward is great, and the spitting in his face,
oh,
is,
man,
great. Just a big loogie hawk right in his face, man. And that is, like, it's funny, but of all the things he could do to, you know, put a gun in his face, try to burn his house down, spitting on a person is kind of just the worst thing of, like, the insult to injury you want to, yeah, hurl at somebody. Just, I'm going to spit possibly in your mouth or up your nose.
Side note, I got my face spit in once.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was the circumstance?
I was in the East Village. No, yeah, think about it. No, I was in the East Village.
I've been there.
Is really?
Wait, are they spitting down there? All right, not going back.
It was really late, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm a little drunk, and some guys walking by. I don't know where I'm going because I have a really terrible sense of direction.
You certainly do.
And I don't know where the subway is. I'm like, hey, do you know where the F train is, man? And he spits in my face and runs away. And I'm paralyzed with drunk rage. And then I chased him, but I'm too fat to catch him. It's a real bad situation.
That's terrible.
Was that recently?
No, no, no. This is like probably 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah,
holy shit.
Yeah, man.
What? And, you know, for anyone who doesn't know what Steve looks like, he's not a threatening person whatsoever. You could be like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I'd be like, that's adorable. I certainly would not be scared if you asked me, if you were, in fact, yeah, a stranger,
yeah,
if you asked me where the F train
was. Well, to me, he looks like he might have some tricks up his sleeve.
Although the other question to sort of take into account here, Steve, you say you were a little drunk. Maybe it was one of those, like, I'm a little drunk. And you said to the guy, excuse me, sir, can you tell me where the F train is? And he heard, that's also a possibility.
You want to ride the F train? I had 25 beers.
I was propositioning men in the East Village like I did 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
That's Breaking Bad.
That's when you break bad. You go turn tricks in the village. this is where I want to end on, because, you know, maybe we'll do a thing, reactions to the final episode or something like that. But we wanted to put this out there. This will be a widely released on screen as part of our September This Is Other Stuff We Hate Movies does. I want to leave it at this, because it's on a lighter note. It's not spitting in anyone's face. It's not killing anyone's family with a machine gun. Saul Goodman spinoff prequel? What are we thinking about that? Yay,
is it actually a prequel or is it a sequel?
I think it's vague.
Yeah. I've read some things both ways. I'm kind of not excited either way.
I'm kind of okay with it. I like the Saul Goodman character enough. I feel like, in general, it sounds like a bad idea that wouldn't go well, but I trust Vince Gilligan.
Right. I trust Vince Gilligan, too. The thing that I would find the most interesting is if you took the route of it's a prequel so far back that it's Saul Goodman back in Chicago using his Irish name.
Using CGI to make Odin Kirk.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's impossible. That's the beef. Well, I mean, you know, who knows when it was that, yeah, you know, Saul Goodman left Chicago. I don't know. The thing that I worry about is if you're going to do a show like that, it's like, you know, Saul Goodman's law practice, you'd be hard pressed to make it serialized television. It would be like a case of the week thing. Almost.
Right. I feel like the tone would be very, very different. Probably play up comedy more.
You'd have to. I mean, yeah, you can't do a Breaking Bad with Saul Goodman as the center. It doesn't make any sense. It would have to be a bit lighter, a bit more fun.
Like little shenanigans with Huel and... Is that his name? Huel?
Huel.
Huel, yeah, and Bill Burr.
Yeah,
Bill Burr's great on that show.
Bill Burr is fantastic. And Huel apparently also is a stand-up comedian. I didn't know that.
I had a question about comedians and Bob Odenkirk as Saul Goodman. Does he... I mean, and not that... I'm not putting David Cross and Bob Odenkirk against each other, but does this role edge out Tobias in Arrested Development?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%, right?
100% it does.
Yeah.
You know, I can't recall David Cross really doing anything serious outside of when he played Allen Ginsberg in that Todd Haynes movie.
Yeah.
And even that was just... I felt like I was watching a Mr. Show sketch.
It was kind of a cameo, really.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so I don't know, but as far as the two biggest things they're known for outside of Bob and David, Saul Goodman wins. I mean, it's a bigger range. Not that Tobias is bad. I mean, Tobias is fucking so hilarious.
Yeah, and a cultural icon.
It's such different types of performances. So.
Yeah, I mean, I really think this show, you know, I don't know, and I don't want to pit them against each other either, but to me, and I guess in a lot of my comic sensibilities and the stuff, you know, Steve, that you and I have written and done on stage and whatever, I don't know, Bob Odenkirk's comedic sensibilities have always appealed to me more than David Cross's have. Mm. And not that they're that different, but there is that difference. And Bob Odenkirk, you know, I always kind of played favorites with him. So the fact that this show has allowed him to sort of really blossom, and now he's, because of the show, he's now on the level that David Cross has been at for a number of years.
Yeah, oh yeah. He was always the redheaded stepchild of that too, you know, like just kind of the guy behind the scenes, whatever. I mean, he was in front of the camera, but
he's directed movies. Yeah. He still writes things all the time, but now, you know, Breaking Bad has allowed Bob Odenkirk to become a household name, which I think is fucking awesome.
That is great.
And, you know, on that note, they're doing a Mr. Show tour, and there's a new Mr. Show book out that talks about the scripts that they never got made and everything. And I mean, I love both of them, but yeah, Saul Goodman's the better character.
Yeah, it's 100%. It's kind of cool. It's cool to see him come back that way. And I mean, I think that it's going to be interesting to watch the show age a bit. And there's the whole Breaking Bad v. Mad Men thing, too.
Right.
That's a real thing. And I think that...
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing. I just...
Yeah, no, it's a real thing.
No, I kind of...
I know, but I'm just thinking, how silly is it? How silly is it people are like, oh, no, Team Mad Men. Team Breaking Bad.
Just these, like, fucking literary snob, like, dudes in, like, really thin ties. Reading Camus and smoking cigarettes, like Mad Men is better, and I love Mad Men so much.
Do we want to do this? Which show do you like more?
It's tough because I like the weird thing about Breaking Bad over almost everything, including The Sopranos, is that it's so linear and it's so focused on just Walter White, and everybody else is a satellite. You know what I mean? You're not having those Mad Men digressions or those Sopranos digressions into different characters, where they're going. Like, no one really has subplots. And they have subplots, but they have to directly impact Walt in every single way.
You're right. Everybody, you know, it's kind of like when Walt's not on screen, everybody's asking, where's Poochie? You know? I mean, it's like everything that everyone does in some way is, you know, to benefit Walt, to not benefit Walt, is associated with Walt, is because of Walt. Yep. So, yeah, you're right. And, you know, that's... You can't say that about Mad Men because the example there would be Don, and that's not what that show is.
Yeah,
that
Peggy's show has, doing all sorts of stuff.
Peggy's moving and shaking. The kids are up in Westchester moving and shaking. I mean, so...
Henry Francis.
I am a character. Maybe someday I will run for governor.
Betty, you're getting fat again. Betty, you got cancer or what?
I mean...
I've been waiting to do fucking Henry Francis, but problem is he never did made movies in the 90s.
So we'll have to do. We'll do it on screen for the final season of Mad Men. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm always more excited to watch Breaking Bad. I love Mad Men, and I think this past season was, you know, one of the better ones that they've done. But
you know, I love both. So it's really hard to pick.
It is.
I mean, I think like I'm more excited to watch Breaking Bad, but I think I probably enjoy watching Mad Men more. Probably just because I'm not given those insane moments of cliffhangers.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like the most insane we ever got was Lane Price fucking hanging himself there. But yeah, you know, you're right.
Well, Mad Men spoiler. Well, that was like a season or two ago, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Ish.
We can amend all AMC shows. I'm gonna fucking spoil Rubicon in a second.
Hey man, I am one of the few people on the planet that dug on that Rubicon. I was bummed when it got canceled. Whatever, Eric. You watch Hell on Wheels.
I do.
I love how that's an AMC insult. You watch Hell on Wheels, jerk.
You're a fan of Low Winter Sun, loser.
It's that, you know, like Steve's going through his 90210 thing. Like, this is my 90210
that's
thing.
That's fair.
You know, like, I recognize it as low television. I'm not bringing it up with Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
It's fine. It's all, you know what? Stuff on that network is leaps and bounds anything on the big networks.
I mean, call him meanie, and then you got this ridiculous character, Bohannon! It's so ridiculous. Guys, if you're not watching Hell on Wheels, he fucking smokes a cigar and drinks whiskey with Ulysses S. Grant in the last episode. So, my God, fire it up, folks. Catch up, Netflix instant.
That is something you would like. That's a situation you would dream up while sitting around high. Just like, oh man, what if we were sitting? God, wait. We're all sitting around. We're smoking cigars and drinking whiskey. But get this, guys, Ulysses S. Grant is there. Oh man!
And I won't tell you how, but Cullen Bohannon murders a Mormon child.
Wow.
So. Hey, that Hell on Wheels sounds pretty good now, doesn't it?
I want you to do a solo on screen of Hell on Wheels. Hello, I'm Eric Siska, and this is Hell on Wheels.
So, how about that, right? Right, everyone?
Right, me? Cole Meany guest stars? Cole Meany in your apartment?
Hey. Man, I would be jealous if you got to sit down with Cole Meany. That would be fantastic. Yeah, what a get.
I'd be on the right track then.
The right train track.
That's right.
It's a show about trains. My God, I don't want to stop talking about Breaking Bad, but we kind of have. Let's cut it. Let's cut it right there. That's WHM on the screen. Again, 3 episodes left. Enjoy your Breaking Bad. Maybe we will come back and do what we thought of the finale. Maybe if folks are interested.
Yeah, let us know. But could we do a quick like thing? Like, I know we've gotten a lot of questions lately. It's on our FAQ page. But if you're looking to get the app on an iPhone or something, get the Podcast Box app and then look for us. I think we're under Arts now.
It's under Arts, and I've emailed them several times about getting it switched to comedy. But I think they just think we're a classier show than we are because they won't switch it over. So Eric's right. There's a free app. It's called Podcast Box. You can download it for free in the iTunes store. It's an aggregator app. So you open up the Podcast Box app. Like Eric said, search under Arts for some reason. And there is our app. You can purchase it there. Or if you want to pick up these side episodes on a case-by-case basis, you can visit us over at whmpodcast.bandcamp.com. From now on, all the episodes that are being released on the app, I'm releasing on Bandcamp separately. But simultaneously, and I'm working on getting the rest of the back episodes that are on the app but are not on the Bandcamp page also up on the Bandcamp page, so you can check those out,
and
too.
And I think for Android, it's on the Amazon Marketplace and I think Google now?
It's on Google Play and the Android, rather the Amazon Marketplace. If you have an Android operating system, that's where you can get that.
And it's chock full of goodness like this episode was.
This, Side Order of Sleaze, WHM Live, and kind of just other shows we come up with along the way. This is where we're going to dump them. The main RSS feed is always going to be WHM Prime, as we call it, which is us talking about bad movies, but clearly today we spent 40 minutes talking about a television show we all enjoy, which is totally fine and, you know, the great thing about doing podcasts.
And if you've got an idea for a show you want us to do, shoot us an email. We'll do it. I mean, if you want us to talk about awkward sexual experiences, it's probably not going to happen, but you could write us an email about it.
It'll probably be 1 minute long, sort of like my awkward sexual experience.
Hello! Welcome back to Hello, starring Eric Siska.
We can actually do a whole series on stories where you get spit in your face.
Where I'm degraded for no reason.
Welcome back to Degraded for No Reason. That's WHM on screen. If you want to get a hold of us, WHMpodcast.com. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter at WHMpodcast. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.